Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chedi. Very often you hear people saying things like, the Bible is not relevant, and they want to hear something that's a little more relevant to their needs and to their lives. Well, I want to share a scripture today that was not really intended to be prophecy, but when you read it, you will realize how prophetic it really is and how relevant these scriptures are to our everyday lives. I'm reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting from verse 5. Paul is talking about those who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, financial gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Famous scripture coming up, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Let me skip down to verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. All right, very relevant scriptures for today. And I believe that these scriptures are a rebuke to modern day Christianity. It is a rebuke to preachers who use Christianity as a means of getting wealth. It is a rebuke to so-called Christians or followers who think coming to Christ entitles you to become wealth, and maybe you came to Christ because you feel that is the way to financial wealth. This scripture is a stark rebuke to those two groups of people. Paul said, from such people, withdraw yourself. He didn't say go to their church. He didn't say give money to their church. He said, withdraw yourself. Very strong words. And then he goes on to say, godliness with contentment is great gain. The true riches, the true wealth, is not finances, although finances are great. I wish I had $1 million, all right? The true wealth is godliness with contentment. That's the real gain. So Christianity is not a means to gain. Christianity itself is the gain. For Jesus said, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? The real gain is the life that comes through Christ. So what did Paul mean by that? Just in case you were wondering. He said, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. So we were born with nothing, we will die with nothing. All of the in-between does not matter. And he goes on to say, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Talk about a lack of ambition. Is there any place for ambition in the Christian walk? Should Christians even go to school? Should Christians even try to find a good job? Well, the answer is yes. Ambition is great. All of those things are great. But the point that Paul is trying to make here is that that is not what Christianity is about. Christianity is not about worldly ambitions. Christianity is about denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Christ. You're listening to me and saying, what? That's not what Christianity is about. Well, that's what I'm hearing on TV. Well, what you're hearing on TV is wrong. It's unscriptural. The Bible said, withdraw from them. It didn't say tune into their channel. It didn't say give money to their ministry. It said withdraw from them. He goes on to say, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Because of this, some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I want you to pay attention to the words that Paul is using here. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Those who desire to be rich lead themselves into a snare. Those who are eager for money fall into all kinds of temptations. Some of them have strayed from the faith. I know people who have used dishonest means to get money. They've borrowed money from people. They have even stolen money from people. They owe millions of dollars to many different people, and people are out to get them. People even want them dead. I know one of them personally. He has to come to work at 2 a.m., sleep during the daytime, just to avoid people who are looking to collect their money back. Talk about a life of bondage. Selling your soul for money just so that you could get this great life. And what's your life? A few years ago, the great Benny Hinn renounced the prosperity gospel and he repented for preaching it. He believes that gospel, give money to me, sow a seed, is against the Holy Spirit and it's a sin. And he repented of it, and I say kudos to you for repenting that false gospel. It's great. Let's ignore the fact that he still continues to live in his $30 million mansion, which was paid for by the generous tithes and offerings of people who thought they were giving unto God. But let's ignore that for the time being. Benny Hinn went on to say that he was worried about his own salvation. And he reached a point in his life where his real focus now is getting to heaven. And he doesn't want any of that flesh that might prevent him from getting into heaven. This is his own testimony, right? So imagine that. Benny Hinn, who many Pentecostals and charismatics associate with the anointing and the power of God, Benny Hinn was worried that his own salvation was in jeopardy because of the prosperity gospel. Isn't that exactly what Paul said in these verses that we read? And people say the Bible isn't relevant. Paul goes on to talk about those who are actually rich. So he doesn't want it to come across like he is knocking money and knocking financial prosperity. That's an important part of life. And the Bible does have a lot to say about prosperity. But like I said, that's just not the essence of what Christianity is about. And if you have always believed that being in Christ means that Christ has to prosper you, God has to bless you with material things, I am sorry to be the one to tell you that you are wrong. And your entire Christianity was off focus. And I'm not even sure if what you have could be called Christianity. But Paul goes on to say that there are rich people and financial prosperity is great. He goes on to address those who are rich in the present age. Command those who are rich in the present age three things: not to be haughty or arrogant, not to trust in uncertain riches but in the living God who richly gives us all things, and let them do good. Let them be rich in good works, not rich in your bank account, but rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. So there are three things that Paul instructed for those who are blessed. Don't be arrogant. Don't think that because you have money, that means you are better than everybody else. Jesus gave a parable of a rich man and Lazarus. The rich man spent his life in abundance. Lazarus was a beggar. But in the end, the rich man went to hell. Lazarus went to heaven. And the moral of that story was to show that being rich in this life is not an indication of your standing before God. Don't think you are better than everybody else. Understand that God gave you that ability to get wealth. You were partly responsible. Yes, you worked hard, you invested wisely, you made good decisions. But understand, you weren't born to a drug-addicted mother who left you to fend for yourself. You had some kind of head start in life. God set all of that in place. So God worked it out for you. God set the conditions in place for which you could prosper. Don't be haughty. Two, don't trust in uncertain riches. The book of Proverbs says riches are like wings. They could just take up wings and they could leave. They're here today, gone tomorrow. Don't trust in your riches, but trust in the living God. And three, let them do good. Use your money to do good. So the problem is not having money. The problem is how you got your money, the place of value that you give to your money, and what you do with your money. Those are the things that are really important. And he says, by doing good with your money, by being rich in good works, willing to give, willing to share, willing to help the poor, you're laying up treasure for yourself in heaven. So it's almost as if you're preaching the gospel, because you're using your wealth that God has blessed you with to help others and to help the true gospel. And notice in this particular portion of scripture, Paul did not give any strategies for becoming wealthy. That was not his concern. He didn't give you a three-point strategy, a three-point sermon on how to go from being poor to being wealthy. Step one, give to me. Step two, give to me. Step three, sow into my ministry. He didn't do anything like that. He did not give any strategies on how to go from being poor to being rich. He just noted there would be poor people in the church and there would be rich people in the church. And if you happen to be one of the rich ones, here's what to do. No strategies, because that is not what Christianity is about. Now, having said that, the book of Proverbs talks a lot about how to become prosperous, and we'll talk about that another time. But it is not a sin to get wealth or to be wealthy. That is great. Just don't think that that is the essence of what Christianity is about. And don't think that God owes you that. Paul is knocking that brand of Christianity that appeals to people's greed, that says, come to me. God will bless you the same way that God blessed me. And these preachers on TV tell you that. They tell you, sow into my ministry and God will bless you the same way he blessed me. But think about it. I want you to think about it logically. That's not how God blessed them. God didn't bless them financially. They did not get blessed financially because they gave. They got blessed financially because you gave to them. But the rules are different for you. You give to them. So they became prosperous by you giving to them. And you become prosperous by you giving to them. I mean, come on. There are people who actually believe this. Don't you see what's common? The common ground you give to them, because that's what it's all about. It's all about them getting money to live their extravagant lifestyle and for their children to have all the privileges that your children will never have. Paul here is knocking those who will use unethical practices to get ahead and those who think that financial prosperity is the central focus of the Christian life. That brand of Christianity that compromises on important doctrines of the Bible to attract rich people. 1 Timothy chapter 6 could not be any clearer. It could not be any more prophetic for the day in which we live. The real test for you listening to me, what if God never gives you the thing that you're praying for? The thing that you want the most? The thing that occupies the most time in your prayer life? What if God never gives it to you? Or what if God takes away the thing that you value the most? Will you still serve him? Will you still follow Christ? Will you say, not my will, but thy will be done? Will you still take up your cross, deny yourself, and say, it's not about me? Godliness with contentment is true gain. That is the real wealth. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induo Rampol Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.